We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Yes, yes. Good Wednesday morning to you. It's John Dickinson sitting in for Matt Steinmetz, along with Daryl the Guru Johnson and Dan Dibley. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 4 hours here. Tons going on in the world of sports in the Bay Area. Giants, a big comeback win last night over the Cincinnati Reds after being down 4-0 after the top of the first. The Warriors guys beginning a 5-game road trip. But where we want to get started today is in the National Football League and with the San Francisco 49ers. Justin Fields, all eyes on him today, pro day number two. And it got me to thinking, guys, as we were preparing for the show, the 49ers now in 15 days are going to make a pick at number three. And it's in all likelihood going to be Justin Fields, or it's going to be Trey Lance, or it's going to be Mac Jones. And, I think whoever the selection is, Goo, there's almost different goalposts and expectations and levels of what's deemed appropriate or acceptable for that rookie season based on who the pick is. Is that a fair statement for you, Goo?
I'm going to say ball in play. It is fair. But I'm looking around, and, you talk about 15 days, guys. I'm going Donna Summers. I'm excited to get this over with because the over-analyzing of these guys who all may not pan out. How about that? I haven't heard that. There's a chance that all these quarterbacks, Dibs, may not turn out to be diddly squat. But I will say this. I mentioned presidential candidates. The one guy, if this were NASDAQ, this seems like his stock is going down and manufactured stories, whether true or not, is Fields. I like Fields. I think he would be a great candidate to be the next Niner quarterback. But also, too, I bet some chicken on Ohio State this year, Dibs. And I've seen them have some stinkers. They all do. But now I wake up to Chris Mortensen talking about, his lack of mechanics are because he played baseball, talking about Fields. There was that report about the work ethic. He seems to be losing in the court, my friend, of public opinion.
Well, public opinion doesn't have any real pertinence until we hear the chime 15 days from now. And I think it's funny that you talk about a guy maybe having his quarterback motion altered by the fact that he's a baseball player, JD, when you've got pitching guru Tom House coaching up many quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, quarterback candidates, and quarterbacks in wait. So you can't have it both ways. I'm not saying that Mort came up with this narrative, but all these false narratives about Justin Fields and his baseball mechanics and his work ethic, I don't know where that comes from, unless it's a team hoping that he drops. Maybe you're a team picking number four or number five or even further down in that first round, and you're thinking, if we can disparage the young Fields, and if the 49ers are going to take Jones, and then Lance goes ahead of Fields, all of a sudden, maybe he slides down to where you want to pick him at 8, 9, or 10. So I feel bad for the young man because nobody wants trash talked about him, especially these make-believe stories. Yeah. But there's just so much so much false narrative spinning this time of year. Ultimately, for the 49er fans, you know that you're going to get a shot at the third best quarterback in the draft no matter what.
And it's difficult, I think, you know, because Justin Fields, to me, Goo, seems to have the most upside, right? Like, he's the guy that could be the brightest star, maybe the quickest. Trey Lance is seemingly the perfect fit for a team that maybe wants to still have a veteran quarterback for a year, and Lance may have close to the same upside or greater as Fields, but it might just take him a little bit longer to get there. Mac Jones feels like he's got the highest floor, but the upside and the, you know, spectacular nature of his game maybe isn't on the same level as the other two quarterbacks. But all eyes today, Goo, are going to be on Justin Fields. Pro day number two, the 49ers on hand at this one, along with the Jets, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Broncos. And even the Patriots, Goo. Are the Patriots looking to maybe do something big?
I'll say this. I'll go Michael J. Fox. They need a future, too, and Cam is not it. He's in the meantime. He's filling in. But if they were to, you know, wiggle and jiggle and try to get up there and get their new quarterback, I wouldn't be shocked. But I'll say this, guys, and this is just me. I look at the new quarterback, and that's what I'll call him in the NFL, the hybrid. A guy unlike Garoppolo, unlike Mac Jones, unlike Kirk Cousins. And you see it with Kyler Murray. You see it with Russell Wilson. And what entices me and gets me excited is we're finally going to see if Kyle Shanahan has battled those type of quarterbacks enough to where he says, you know what, Dibs, I want that. I want that Porsche. I want that hybrid Cadillac. So that's where I'm at. Because me personally, I think it's Fields. I think it's Lance. They're better athletes. But Mac Jones, something's eating at me. He reminds me of a young Kirk Cousins. And is that what Shanny and Lynch have spent their expenditure on to get up and get Mac Jones, who we all know will be available at trade?
What do you guys buy into the notion that whoever the pick is gets a different level of criticism from the 49ers? And the fan base, I think, is where I'm going with this, because I feel like if Mac Jones winds up being the pick, that 49er fans going into it would be thinking for the most part that it's a terrible pick. And in essence, there's more pressure, Dibs, on a guy like Mac Jones to come in whenever he takes the ball under center and perform at a high level compared to a guy like Justin Fields, where if he gets thrown into the mix and he struggles, it's, well, he's young, there's still time to develop, no pressure, because in the court of public opinion, the belief would be, well, Justin Fields is going to be fine because he's so talented, and he would be a much more likable or acceptable pick. Am I onto something there, Dibs, or is that crazy?
It just depends on the way you look at it, from which perspective. From a fan's perspective, yes. If they take Mac Jones and Mac Jones does not turn out to be the sauce, then the criticism will come more quickly than if it's Lance, who doesn't have the same level of experience. And a lot of this, I think, depends on Jimmy Garoppolo. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo starts, plays well, and let's say the team goes 10-7 and Jimmy Garoppolo is solid, but they don't make the playoffs, or maybe they're one and done in the wild card round, but Jimmy Garoppolo is okay and the rookie quarterback doesn't play at all, well, then Kyle and John are fine because the rookie's clock will start in year two. But if Jimmy Garoppolo comes out and doesn't play well or gets hurt and you got to throw the rook in week 7 or in week 8, and that rookie struggles, and let's just say it's Jones, Fields, or Lance, I think Jones would be criticized by the fans more readily than the other two.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dibs, and I talked about it in the green room. Unlike Garoppolo, JD, when he came to town, I felt like people felt, and I was one of them, he got paid before he proved himself. And then he went to, you know, he had the thing with Miss Mia. He was a rock star. You know, he had his 15 minutes of fame, and a lot of people say it was given to him. He didn't earn that in 5 games. And where I'm going is, I think whoever the Niners pick, the rookie quarterback has a bulletproof vest on, because they'll go to Shanahan. The fans will, I think, the Jackals, in regard to what were you seeing, Kyle, and John, in this quarterback. And whoever it is, we already know he's going to be young. So the vitriol will come the direction to the front office, and rightfully so, if this rookie quarterback doesn't pan out. But if it's Jones, it'll really be times 10.
Yeah, it's twofold for me, because I feel like there's going to be added pressure if it's Justin Fields or even Trey Lance, as much as Trey Lance projects to be the quarterback maybe most likely to need a year to develop before, you know, taking over. It feels to me, though, like if Justin Fields is the pick, then people are going to want Justin Fields to be on the field immediately and cast Jimmy Garoppolo basically aside at first blush, either before training camp hits, guys, or at the first sight of Jimmy Garoppolo struggling. I think it's going to be got to get the rookie in there. But if it's Mac Jones, it's almost the opposite effect, where if he's the pick, I think Jimmy Garoppolo might get a little bit of a longer leash from the fan base. But if he winds up out there in short order, it's going to be a scenario where the pressure on Mac Jones to perform is going to be greater than the pressure on maybe those other two quarterbacks to perform as well. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Steiny, Guber, and Dibs here at 95.7 The Game. We're asking the simple question, does who the 49ers pick change the criticism level from fans? We'll get into that coming up here, but let's give away some cash. Time now for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word FEATHER to 72881. That's FEATHER to 72881. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more at Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. So moving on here, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Again, asking the simple question, does who the 49ers pick change the criticism level from the fans? We are 15 days away from the draft. So phone calls coming up, more on that as well. And that's all sponsored by Network Capital Funding.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
Rolling along here on a Wednesday, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Asking a simple question here, as Justin Fields has his pro day number two today with the 49ers in attendance. Does who the 49ers pick change the criticism level for that pick from the fans? Again, 888-957-9570. That's where Lori in Phoenix checks in here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Lori.
Whoa.
So I definitely think it would make a big difference, because I think a lot of the problem is that people just are so dead set against Mac Jones that if he is the one that gets picked and they don't trade down to get him or whatever, then I think that they're going to be really unhappy. I think the one good thing would be maybe then people would be, a little bit more in the Garoppolo wagon and giving him another shot and seeing if he can stay healthy and get back on the field. Maybe maybe that would help in that way. But for me, I would like to see a more mobile quarterback. But I definitely think that, I mean, it's a crapshoot no matter what you do. And I don't, for me, whoever they pick, they put in the uniform, I'm going to support them and hope they do well. So that's the bottom line. But I definitely think it would make a huge difference depending on if they got Fields or Jones or Lance.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate the call. All right, so what, we got a flag on the play. Let's just put that rat on the table here. Let's let everybody in. Flag on the play.
Well, there's only one rep on this show. That's Dibs. Tell him.
It's just the classic bros before phones. And that's where, you being a 15 to 20-year vet, you come back from break, quick reset of the topic, welcome everyone back in. Because we're talking about the draft, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow, and it's fascinating the scrutiny that the various picks might receive. The pick is not yet in, but it's the booze. Booze before who's is how that goes. Who are they going to take? But it's just a procedural thing. Goose thoughts, my thoughts. Then we go to Lori, who we love, by the way. Lori and Phoenix. And
kill Stoddy.
Speaking of always killing Stoddy with bros before phones. And we haven't heard from Robin in a while, Goo. I hope everything's okay with Robin. Haven't heard from Robin.
Is she on we got her?
No, I'm just saying, you know, as we talk great female callers. Yeah,
she calls at night. She calls post-game at night. She calls Warriors this week on Saturday. I don't know. Maybe you guys have fallen out of favor, Goo.
No, slow your roll, sugar.
Don't hate JP. She makes her rounds. I love Robin. We
How
all
dare
do.
You cheer for the Lakers?
So Lori checking in, and she's of the belief that there's, you know, the goalposts are moving, basically, depending on who the quarterback is. Go ahead, Goo. I mean, you feel like you look like you're chomping at the bit to get in on this.
Well, that's all the time, but there's a sense of arrogance from the San Francisco 49ers to make this move, guys, spend this capital, and be favored. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, JD. I believe Vegas had the Niners 6-1 to get to the Super Bowl. My point being, you think you got it like that with this current roster to where you can go spend all this capital to get a quarterback and have his ass sit? Dibs, to me, that reeks of arrogance. And to me, if it were me, and I know it's not, if I'm doing all this to get a rookie quarterback, he's going to be Burrow. He's going to go out there. And we saw Burrow. Cincinnati didn't win, but when you watch the Bengals play football, you knew it wasn't because of him. Then I go to Los Angeles with the Chargers. We saw the young stud there. They lost games. It wasn't because of him. So if Jimmy's your guy, why wouldn't you add to the offensive side or defensive side of the ball, JD and Dibs, and enhance your chances of winning this year as opposed to going to get one, two, or three different quarterbacks that you're going to sit? I don't understand that. It's a head-scratcher for me, Dibs.
Well, I'm going to go Whitney Houston on you and say I believe the children are our future. And in this case, the children are young
That's
quarterbacks,
yeah.
Fields, Lance, or Jones, and maybe Zach Wilson falls to you. And all those teams you mentioned, Goo, those are bad teams. Bad teams draft a rookie and start a rookie, and the Niners aren't a bad team. Even if they drafted somebody other than the future quarterback, they're probably going to be a 9-8, 10-7 as I adjust to the new 17-game schedule. I don't think they're going to be worse than, say, 7-10, unless they go through injuries again. So if you're a good team, a competitive team, a team that thinks it's a playoff team, you can draft your future quarterback, especially when you, Kyle Shanahan, and your GM, who you're basically the GM, but John Lynch, you're both signed through 2025. So you don't have to think desperation and immediacy like you do if you're the Chargers, the Dolphins, and the Bengals. So two situations are not necessarily even, and that's why you can move up and spend two first-round picks. I know it's three firsts, but you get one first back, so it's really a net cost of two first-round picks to move up nine spots and tab your future quarterback. Now, is he your starter in week 1, week 5, week 12, or 2022? That all depends on how Jimmy G does.
And it also depends on whether the 49ers truly, guys, are committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the great unknown here and the question that continues to pop up as we start to prepare for who the 49ers are going to draft. I mean, they're steadfast in saying that they're sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. Now, who knows if that's true? I mean, maybe they have a quarterback on their board among these three that'll be available that they believe can take over immediately for Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they believe, say, a Trey Lance is somebody that's going to need a year where Fields could be in a competition where maybe he gets the job, maybe he doesn't. Maybe they feel Mac Jones is most apt to come in and play right away at a similar level to Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, how has, Goo, your level of what the 49ers are thinking maybe changed as far as the commitment level to Garoppolo? Is there a different commitment level based on who the pick is, basically, as it pertains to Jimmy?
I do believe so. And I'll go all the way back to last summer with the flirtation of Tom Brady. They didn't pull the trigger. And I guess where I'm going, JD, is how do you expect to put this? This is another item to me on Jimmy Garoppolo's plate, a guy who hasn't mastered the quarterback position, and now you're going to draft his predecessor. It's going to come with the circus. Believe it or not, you're inviting the circus to town, and you're telling me, okay, Jimmy, you hadn't been able to beat the healthy gods, but we need you to go fight that fight and then also be the best quarterback you can possibly be with the backup right behind you. To me, that's a big ask, JD, and I know Dibs and Steiny tell me all he can do it, he's mentally strong or whatnot, but we don't know what that could crush him, and you don't get the best version of Garoppolo. So if it were me, again, nobody's asking. I'm doing all this for my rookie QB. He's QB1 week one.
Yeah, only a few QBs get drafted and become QB1, and usually those guys who are QB1, they struggle in the initial part of their season, their transition to the National Football League, and especially when you talk about Trey Lance, if it is Lance, who played one game last year. The year before, granted, no interceptions throughout the entirety of a season at the FCS level, so wow. If he's the pick, there's no way you play him week one. Now, Fields had a great run at Ohio State. He seems to be the most ready-made of the QBs. Mac Jones played in big games for Alabama. You figure you go from the SEC to the NFL, that transition would be smoother. But then again, none of those three guys would have the experience level of Jimmy Garoppolo. And again, guys, to the point I made earlier, if you think you're a good team, if you fancy yourself a playoff team this year, you don't turn the keys to the kingdom over to a rook when you've got a guy on your roster who's taking you to a Super Bowl. And, Goo, the notion that Jimmy G's fragile psyche could be broken by the fact that they take a quarterback at number three, if that's the case, then he's not cut out for the National Football League.
Let me add this, JD, to that. And I hear you. Well, you know what, Dibs? Because you talk about the current situation and how the Niners, you know what? They're in a position to go for it. 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. Could not make it, and the pandemic has taught us nothing but tomorrow is not promised. Could not make an argument that they wasted this pick if he's not going to see the field? And then, JD, to your point, to me, that's where the pressure comes in of, are these quarterbacks so generational good in your eyes that you wanted to waste the future first-round picks and this year's to get them to sit? That's what's so fascinating about this puzzle.
Well, for me, Goo, I think the 49ers have a very high opinion of themselves at this point. And you know, I've said this from time to time. Like, they believe they've got this whole thing dialed, where their wow. roster is good enough to contend for a Super Bowl now. And if that's with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback, then they're comfortable with that. If whoever the draft pick is steps in and either beats out Jimmy Garoppolo, or they believe is on par with Jimmy Garoppolo or better than him in pretty short order, they believe that they would still be able to contend at that particular level regardless of who the pick is. Again, if they deem that player to be at that level. To me, there's a little bit of, I don't know if it's scheme arrogance, but it's kind of organizational culture arrogance, if you will, that they've just got this thing dialed and Goo can go, you know, either way with it.
And again, Dibs, I could start at Trevor Lawrence. There's a good chance, I won't say good, there's a chance none of these quarterbacks pan out. That's what's so amazing to me is we're going to find out who the Niners think so damn highly of that the next 2 years your first-round pick is vanished. And that's where the arrogance to me comes in of, oh, y'all got it like that. You don't need no help on the D-line. Okay, the secondary is A1. Okay, linebacker, I'll give that to you. You know, so I can't wait to see how this plays out. But, Dibs, can you just, for me, give the people your Wiseman Trey Lance analogy? Because I thought it was awesome.
I just think when you look at taking Trey Lance, it's a lot like taking James Wiseman because you don't have much of a sample on which to go. And you're taking it almost on spec. You drafted James Wiseman looking at the physical talent, same as Trey Lance, and he had three games in college, Wiseman did. Lance had a season 2 years ago at FCS, so I think the similarities between the unbelievable athleticism, the promise of greatness, but not having a real body of work on which to rely makes the Lance pick maybe as risky as the Wiseman pick. The only thing that I think favors the Niners in taking Lance is that we've seen quarterbacks recently, Josh Allen being a good comp, I think, guys who can be athletic, make plays with their legs, physically statuesque. We've seen those players succeed in the NFL more recently than we've seen a guy like James Wiseman succeed in the NBA, because you look at Zion Williamson as a guy who's big and didn't play much in college. Well, he's a completely different player than James Wiseman. I don't know if you have a comp, JD, in the NBA, because Anthony Davis in a year at Kentucky showed you a lot more than Wiseman showed you in three games at Memphis. And I know three games is an unfair comparative value, but I think that the Wiseman pick, riskier than the Lance pick, but of the three quarterbacks the Niners might take, Trey Lance would be the riskiest of the three because you just don't know how good he can be at the top level.
See, it's interesting because I actually think in a way Trey Lance is the most comfortable pick at number three. And the reason is, and I mean at least initially, as far as
please explain.
Your point, Dibs, is accurate. But as far as it being the most comfortable pick, there's a belief going in that he needs time. So if you're truly committed to Jimmy Garoppolo, then he's the guy that makes that transition, I think, the easiest. There won't be as much pressure from the fan base and maybe the media to get Trey Lance on the field because it would be essentially accepted on draft night that he's going to need a year. So less pressure on Lance, less pressure on Garoppolo at that point, less pressure on Kyle Shanahan. Whereas to me, if it's Justin Fields, then it's going to be get the kid out there immediately. Let's see if he's better than Jimmy G. You know, right now, let's watch him battle in camp or let's kick Jimmy G off to another team immediately. And if it's Mac Jones, I think it's actually the other way. There's pressure on Mac Jones if you deem him to be equal to Jimmy Garoppolo right now, to the point where maybe you hand him the keys. There's an infinite amount of pressure on him to perform immediately. So, I think it's twofold. Your point about his talent level is fair, Dibs, but for me, you could make the case that that's the simplest way to go about it is, yeah, Trey Lance is going to take a year, best of all worlds for everybody.
Yes, but if he takes a year and then 2022 comes and you thank Jimmy for his service and you move on and then you get Lance out there and he's not the sauce, he's not the pick, now we've got real problems. And I'm afraid with the Wiseman comparison, the injury kind of robbing us of the conclusion to Wiseman's rookie year. If he doesn't play at all, you know, I gave him a D, JD, you gave him an incomplete, and Goo, I think, gave him a C or a C-. Well, that's not good. And if you find out in 2022 that Trey Lance is similar to, you know, maybe he's more Carson Wentz than he is Josh Allen, now all of a sudden you've wasted a year of not playing him and not finding out. And now all of a sudden Shanahan and Lynch are 1 year closer to the end of their run. And you find out in 2022 that he's not the guy. Then you got big problems.
Yeah, and I just think of Lance when he did play a full season, guys. He wasn't going up against the Bama-type defenses. So I do worry about the speed of the game, you know, and the competition he played against, where with Fields, you know, that was A1. You playing Bama, I mean, how many NFL guys are on that defense? And I just want to ask you this, JD. When you look at Fields, and even before the Niners made this trade, do you think he's just a – it's a sure thing that he's going to be a stud in the NFL? Because I got to tell you, I'm leaning the other way. I'm rooting for him, but I don't know.
I don't think any of these guys are sure things. I think Justin Fields has the best upside and maybe the best potential to come in and have the greatest upside the quickest. I think Mac Jones is the classic middle level. I know the comparisons to Kirk Cousins, I mean, that personally makes me cringe. It better be more like Drew Brees than Kirk Cousins. I mean, if you're drafting, I know we all get into the love affair that Kyle has with Kirk Cousins, Goo, but if you're drafting Mac Jones to beat Kirk Cousins, then, like, that's all bad. Like, right off the top, that's all bad.
Let's put the rat on the table, because I've clobbered. I've been very hard on Kirk Cousins. It's not Kirk Cousins, the football player, Dibs. It's not Kirk Cousins, the quarterback attributes. He has the big arm. He can make all the throws. Where he dwarfs at is mentally. So if you're telling me Mac Jones can have the skill set of a Kirk Cousins and throw for 4,000, I'm all in. Just not the bonehead. When the game's on the line, I'm going to go Jay Schrader. That's what has me scared of the current Kirk Cousins. Hell yeah, old Raider reference for you,
wow.
But that's where I'm going.
Yeah, it just depends on how quickly you need him to be on the field, and when he gets on the field, how much time are you going to give him? And to JD's point straight off the top, if it is Mac Jones when the pick is in 2 weeks from tomorrow, whenever he gets on the field, he might get a series. He might get a quarter. He might get a game, JD. But if he comes out, let's just say something happens to Jimmy G. He stubs his toe, and they're 6-5, heading into week 12. And here comes the Rook to get his first start. And he goes 11-28 for a buck 14 and two picks. Yikes.
That's a problem.
JD. To quote a great John Dickens, I give you four crides for your JD. That was because normally you hit it. That's a problem. Normally, you climb the ladder a little bit more. So I'll give you four crides on your own impersonation.
Let's get to Miley 10 in Walnut Creek. What's up, Miley 10?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Dibs, you're my friggin' hero. Just had to say that. Even though you're negative all the time, I love it. Oh, it's so great. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Jimmy. I say we're going to draft one of the top three for sure at quarterback. Sorry, Goo. That's just the way it's going to go down. But Jimmy, I think the reason to keep him this year is something not a lot of people talk about is the locker room. And the locker room loves Jimmy. And there's a, especially Kittle's. I mean, and Jimmy hasn't had a shot of playing with Ayuk yet. He played a couple games, and Ayuk didn't really spread his wings until after Jimmy got hurt. So that's going to be another weapon that they can use in the offense to help Jimmy along with that offensive line. And then on defense, too. You keep saying the defense hasn't done anything. Well, they re-signed and put themselves in position to make a run for the playoffs. I think 11-7, but whatever, 11-6. But they signed a safety. You guys don't mention that. They re-signed their corners. Bosa's coming back. Kinlaw's getting better. They're going to draft probably another pass rusher or two. For sure they're going to draft another cornerback and probably offensive lineman and maybe wide receiver, but the idea of shipping Jimmy out before when you make this pick, you don't want to throw a rookie into a playoff fire like this if you don't have to. If you have to, if you're Cincinnati, what choice do you have? But right now,
thanks. Appreciate the call there. Look, go ahead, Goop. If Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, if they ship Jimmy Garoppolo out, that's getting up on the table and saying that they feel that the quarterback that they picked immediately can play at an extremely high
level.
And
that warrants what you spent to go draft that QB. That's all. That's the point I'm trying to make, Dibs. Had they just drafted a quarterback in the second or third round, and no big deal. But when you use and basically mortgage your future, you're telling us and the world that, hey, we think this guy is different. He's ready to go now. That's all. So
well,
I think, get the
go ahead. Go. I think that you can draft him at number three and think that he's Mr. Right, but not Mr. Right now. And that, I think, is a clear distinction of a team. For me, if you ship out Jimmy G and you throw the Rook in there week one, he had better get you to the playoffs. Because if he doesn't, now you've got real problems with the scrutiny. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, we've seen when he's on the field, what are they, JD, 22-8? With Garoppolo as a starter, and he's taking you to the Super Bowl. So you've seen Jimmy G's got warts. Now, I'm not saying he's got a ton of warts, but he's got problems to the point where you're going to trade up and draft a quarterback at number three. So obviously you're not in love with him forever, but Jimmy Garoppolo's done well for you. So if you draft the Rook and start the Rook, he'd better get you to the playoffs. If not, you blew it.
Dibs, you're my freaking hero.
I appreciate that, even though I'm negative.
I felt left.
Derek
out,
in
man.
Richmond. Derek in Richmond is next.
That hurts. I got an ego.
Hello?
Hey, Derek.
hey, I predicted this 3 or 4 months ago that the Niners should get Justin Fields. I think if they wanted to get Mac Jones, they should have stayed quiet like a rat at Christmas, and they could have kept everything, all their picks, and could have got Mac Jones without moving up. They made Mac Jones popular.
Thanks for the call. I think they moved up in part because they knew at 12 they weren't going to be able to get a quarterback. Like, to me, that's the – and I know you could make the case, Dibs, all right, well, did you need to move up to 3? I just don't think they could for sure say moving up to 6 or moving up to 8 or whatever it would have been good enough. They wanted to make sure they could get somebody.
Yeah, and I made the mistake of asking Michael Lombardi that very thing, intimating that Mac Jones would probably be available at 12. And, oh, he jumped the route and took it to the house, pick 6. He took a pick 6 on me. And you know that, like when the QB tries to sling one out to the flat and the corner knows it's coming and he jumps the route and he goes smooth sailing into the end zone. That's what Lombardi did to me.
McElroy was never a first-round pick. Come on.
Yeah, he shut me down. I went to McElroy. I should have gone a different direction. But, yeah, they went up to 3 because I believe that there's more than one QB they like. And if Wilson's gone and Lawrence is gone, they like one of the other 3 enough to move up 2-3, guaranteeing that they'll get him.
Yeah, and I think Carolina probably was going to be where Mac Jones wound up at number 8, right, Goo, and the 49ers. I think they wanted to be in a position where they could control things. Look, I've said this, and people have called me crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones really was the guy. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers traded up to trade back a little bit if Mac Jones is the guy. Oh, Goo, flip that mic there, Goo. All right, well, Guru might have muted himself there, Dibs. So we'll pause here, and coming up, Dibs, you're going to take a look around. Last night in our league, it was a lighter night in the association, but still some games with some ramifications. Dibs will have that. It's all coming up here as Steiny, Guru, and Dibs rolls on. It's all sponsored by Safeway. Safeway, the largest buyer of local Northern California produce, invites you to come in today and save on fresh, juicy, premium, red, seedless grapes. Just $1.68 per pound, and large 2-pound pack of sweet strawberries on sale at $4.88 each. Safeway, come in and explore.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
All right, rolling along here on a Wednesday. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs coming up. We'll continue the football conversation with the Justin Fields Pro Day number 2. We'll also get into a little bit about the Warriors road trip. This is a big trip for the Dubs, and it'll begin tonight right here on 95.7 The Game, the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a 6 o'clock tip, so Warriors live comes your way at 4:30. That'll be myself and Ryan Covey, as we'll have that for you. 4:30, and then tip off with Tim Roy and Jim Barnett at 6 o'clock. Warriors at OKC, then Cleveland, Boston, Philly, and Washington before returning home to take on the Denver Nuggets again on the 23rd. All right, let's get to it. Let's check out last night in our league.
A tremendous night around the association, JD, as we take a look at what took place last night in our league. Of course, the Golden State Warriors were idle, not in action on the docket. But we had 5 games involving Western Conference teams that we can certainly take a look at as I scroll down here to find out where we are last night in our league. And we start with the first game, which makes sense. You start with the first, and it's the headline, JD. Clippers pluck the Pacers.
And 3 rebounds as well. Here is Kennard. Knocks down the 3 just as the czar ordered.
Bally Sports SoCal with the call. 126-115, the Clippers with the win. Goo, Paul George with 36 points. Where is he in the MVP discussion?
You know what? I'm going to say he's not in the top 5. But for his reputation and what happened in the bubble, your boy is balling, and that's why I got him coming out the West, JD. And Rondo has been perfect. I know the Pacers got problems, but look out for the Clippers. I know Spadoni don't like that.
I give the Clippers a better shot this year than last year just because they have better shooters. I think they're a more balanced team. It's got nothing to do with Paul George, I'll tell you that. But I think the talent around that Clippers team is much better assembled to try and go on a run, Dibs.
Yeah, well, we'll see, Spadone. I don't know about that this year. Yeah, the bubble that didn't work out
playoff
for them.
Playoff P. Yeah.
Yeah, new coach.
Playoff PP. Yeah.
Yeah, new coach, new year. Headline number two. Here's one for Spadone. The Lakers sting the Hornets.
Schroeder with under a minute to play. Shot clock's at 8. Caruso's going to give it right back to him. Zeller's out on him. Zeller's still on him. Here goes Schroeder. Caruso's going to fire it. In there!
At the buzzer.
Caruso!
Big shot late from the Caruso. Spectrum Sports Network to call. Kyle Kuzma with 24. Goo, the Lake Show sitting as the 5 seed, half a game back at Denver, but the Nuggets without Murray. You think they should sit LBJ and AD the rest of the way?
No, you got to come back and prove not only to themselves but to the rest of the guys that they're healthy. I'll say this. They've got a jolt. The Laker players knowing or getting that calendar of dates when a big two are coming back, JD. But Andre Drummond has been playing like Phillip Drummond from Different Strokes. So he's got to get it going.
Yeah. And
Mr.
Look,
Drummond.
The Lakers are – you got to bring those guys back, get them in a little bit of a rhythm. But I think – you know, the Lakers could be the 6 seed, I think, and make a run to the NBA Finals and win a championship if those two are healthy.
Game number 3, the headline, the Jazz drum the Thunder.
Conley goes back to work. Lob it, put it down, Rudy. Double-double for Gobert.
That's from AT&T Sportsnet, 106-96, the final. Lugans Dort with 42 for the Thunder. In the loss, Goo, Utah remains with a game-and-a-half lead over Phoenix. As far as Dort goes, Goo, the 88th game this year in which a player scored more than 40 points. Is this good for the league that offense is going so rampant?
It is, and you could just watch one quarter of a game, half a quarter, and see what's going on and why. But Dort's a baller. But I'll say this, my good friend Bobby Fitz and I both, we want Steph Curry and the Warriors against Utah the first round, JD. My soul needs that. I think that could give Utah some problems.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. As far as the Oklahoma City part of it goes, Warriors taking on them tonight. Kelly Oubre Jr., by the way, officially ruled out, had been briefly upgraded to doubtful last night. And the Thunder have lost 7 in a row, and all 7 have been by double digits. So the Warriors tonight are going to, you don't want to be the team, Dibs, that slips up and is that one team that loses to OKC. OKC effectively tanking at this point.
Yeah, 88 games, JD. That struck me today. 88 games this year in which a player has had 40 or more. It used to be a 40 burger was, wow, something to look at. But now Lugans Dort puts up 42 and it's yawns across the association. Game number 4, the headline, Suns douse the Heat.
Crowder on the cut, drops it off to DA, pass a little low. Nice job by Ayton to dig in and gather and get it quickly off the window.
The new DA, not David Aldridge, but DeAndre Ayton, 19-13. The sound from Bally Sports, Arizona. Goo, here's one for you. The Suns bench outscored the starters 65-41 in this one.
Yeah, you gotta like that. That doesn't happen every night, but I'll tell you this, guys. I'm believing in Phoenix, and maybe it's because of Chris Paul, but give me that, you know, a couple times a week, JD, and I'm not mad. The Suns are a legit threat.
They're a threat, but I look at them and Utah, and I think in the playoffs, they're ripe to get plucked by somebody, whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers or maybe even a team like a Dallas if they get matched up with Phoenix in a 2-7 if they wind up earning the 7. So I feel like great year for the Suns. I could see them getting to a conference finals, but I could also see them being in big trouble in a first-round series.
Yeah, nice uptick there. Devin Booker, 4 of 16. Phoenix still wins. They're a game and a half back of Utah sitting in the 2 seed. The final game as we look at last night in our league, the headline, Celtics burn the Blazers.
Celtics lead by a point. Portland, no fouls to give. Each team with one timeout left. Shot clock gets late. Tatum on its way. Oh, Jason Tatum!
Straight daggerish from Tatum. He had 32. Brian Anderson, the call from TNT. 116 to 115. Portland's dropped two in a row and just a game ahead of, game and a half ahead of Dallas in sixth. And how about this, Goo? Damian Lillard, 28 points on 23 shots. Portland in a little bit of a struggle right now, Goo.
Yeah, I'll say this about the Blazers. I'm a fan, and there's no shame in losing to Boston, but JD, they're so one-dimensional, and especially in go time, you know, there is no inside option. Everything, you know, Dame shooting from the logo, and I'm not blaming Dame. I just think, I watch the Blazers, and guys, I just think of Draymond Green, a guy like that. They need a guy like that to go to the next level. I said.
Yeah, he'd be perfect for the Blazers. The irony is, I think every Blazers role player really would be perfect for the Warriors when you start to look. I mean, they would love to have an Enes Kanter, a Covington, a Derrick Jones Jr., a Norman Powell. Like, really, their whole roster from the four spot through eight would be, I think, somebody that the Warriors would covet. And you're right, Goo. I got one for you guys, though, as far as Dallas and Portland goes. If you're the Warriors and you're able to climb up to eighth in the play-in, would you rather see Dallas in a one-off, or would you rather see Portland in a one-off?
Oh, Dallas for me, Dibs. It's Dallas for me. Yeah,
I think it's Portland. I think you've got a better opportunity to contain Dame than you do Doncic. I would rather see Portland. Better muscle memory, I think, in the playoffs, too. You've had your way with the Blazers in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. I would probably say Dallas. I would probably say
too.
Dallas, just because they're defensively, I think they're an easier challenge. And as far as Portland, I mean, we've seen how that plays out with this team on a night where the Warriors play pretty well.
They got
well,
Nurkic,
and they,
too.
And
Portland,
they can't
Dallas
contain
don't have
Damian
no inside
Lillard.
Presence.
Yeah, they can't contain Damian Lillard down the stretch. So good stuff, Dibs, in our look around last night in our league. The Warriors back in action tonight. Mentioned that. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, guys, what is necessary for this road trip for Golden State as they play Oklahoma City and Cleveland and Boston, Philly, and Washington. Any change from that as far as where we were yesterday? For me, it's price of admission. I look at the two games tonight and tomorrow, Goo. Those need to be wins. The Washington game needs to be a win. If one of those you slip up, you got to get it back in the other two. But this team needs to be 3-2 on this trip when they come back to take on the Nuggets.
No doubt, but I want to get greedy. Wouldn't be the first time. And I'm going to go 4-1. You can either take one from Boston or Philly. Now Boston seems like they're playing well, Dibs. But I'll say this. What bothers me is, you know, we made, you know, a big deal about Wiseman and rightfully so being out, but I don't think we see Kelly Oubre on this trip. And you could say, Goo, what are you talking about? I just keep remembering how his body hit that floor, and now you're talking about a wrist. That's a blow for the Warriors moving forward if that does, in fact, you know, if that's the case.
Yeah, and a loss tonight combined with a Pelicans win over the Knicks, and you've got yourself a flat-footed tie for 10th in the Western Conference. And by the way, the Pelicans then play at the Wizards, at the Knicks. They're home to the Nets, and then they go to Orlando as we look at the Pelicans' next five. And you can see the Pelicans going 3-2 in their next five. So if you're the Dubs and you happen to slip up and go 2-3 without Oubre Jr., as you mentioned, Goo, and no Wiseman, you could find yourself in a tie with the Pelicans. And you'd like to have a little bit of a cushion when you get down to your final three or four or five games when you've got, what, the Pelicans three times in the final seven, I think, and you've got the Grizzlies in there as well. A lot of games at the back end of the schedule against your competitors.
Yeah, and the Pelicans are, I mean, it's really probably going to be decided with those three head-to-head matchups unless the Warriors can separate themselves. Now, to be fair, I know San Antonio has lifted themselves to 500. They're in this mix, too. It isn't totally, Goo, a one-off necessarily between the Warriors and the Pelicans. San Antonio could get into that mix as well, but those three games in the final week and a half, 2 weeks of the season are going to be huge.
Yeah, and I'm here for it. We're all here for it. But I got to bring something up real quick here. We talked about it yesterday. We touched on it. And we talked about the play-in game. What's going on in the Lone Star State to where now not only Luka, Mark Cuban's throwing eggs at the play-in game, Dibs and JD. Now I'm all of a sudden like, what? I feel like Dallas is running for something like, hey, if we're seventh or eighth, we would have been in. Like, they're looking at that scenario to where they might not make it, Dibs, and now they don't like the whole setup. That's kind of weak sauce.
It's called pre-complaining. It's like when you leave your house and you're going to commute into the city and you think, oh, God, the Bay Bridge is awful. It's going to be terrible. Well, you get there and the backup is just to the 880 overcrossing and the metering lights are off. And turns out there's nothing really to complain about because, you know, you're the seventh seed. And in a normal year without this play-in scenario, you'd be a playoff team and you'd know that going in. But now you've got the worry of having to win one of two. Because 7 plays 8, if you lose, then you got to play the 9-10 winner. And if you lose that, all of a sudden now, JD, we were the 7th seed and we're watching the playoffs. I could see where you could be upset about it. It's just pre-complaining right now.
Bottom line, it sucks when you're the 7th seed. It sucks when you are the team that's in 7th in that situation where you'd be in and now you got to find your way, you know, fight your way in to put yourself in a spot where you're avoiding maybe an elimination when you're the best of what could be a five-team group, really, for a good part of the season, depending upon who sneaks in on the back end of that 10 spot. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and FM. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco.